You are listening to the Bridge Community Church podcast out of Warrenton, Virginia. Our church exists to connect you to God, others, and the marketplace. For more information, you can visit us online at bridge4life.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
And again, it's great to see everybody here today. And if you're new, we are in the middle of a series called The Book of Acts, Ordinary People Making Extraordinary Impact. This morning, I've met a number of new people. In fact, one, I got to tell you this, she was in the first service and I saw her, I greeted her and she said, yeah, today's my first day here. In fact, she says, this is my first week in Virginia. Never been to Virginia, and now I've moved from Colorado, so here I am. I said, how did you find the church so quick? She said, one of the guys who helped us move, he invited me to church, and she said, so here I am, and I'm texting him asking where he is. I said, let me know if you have any problems. We'll work on that with him, that he needs to show up when he invites somebody to church. But no, it's just, like I said, everybody's got a story. And what you find is just the need to connect, not only with God, but connecting with other people. And so in this series, I'm just sharing some insights on Acts. I always like to take a segment every year and do about 6 or 7 messages on the book of Acts. It's 28 chapters, so there's a lot of material that can be covered. So I'm not necessarily going verse by verse, but I'm highlighting some things that I think apply to us today. So would everybody stand for the reading of the word? And we're going to be beginning in Acts chapter 1. We did last week, but we're going to pick it up again. Acts 1 verses 12 through 14. After we're done reading this, you're probably wondering, what is Pastor going to be using in that text as a preaching message? How many know I can land that plane? All right. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Let's read. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray as we study the word that it helps us to grow and to learn and develop our faith in a way that we can practice. And so I bless your words in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 The Lord bless you. Be seated. So as we were reading that text, you can probably see there's actually a lot of things that I could delve off into. You know, you saw the part where it says Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the upper room. And we finally see that his brothers are in the upper room praying. You saw that in the last segment. But it's ironic, during Jesus's ministry, his brothers, you know, they weren't around. But how many know just rising from the dead has a way of winning people over? You know, his brothers have now come around and they recognize that he really is who he says he is. And they are a part of this early birth of the church. But one of the things I highlighted last week, and we're gonna pick this up, is in Acts, the New Testament church begins with about 120 people in an upper room praying. And then 30 years later, Acts concludes with the New Testament church spreading all over the world. And Paul is getting ready to go on trial before the emperor of Rome. And we began to unpack how the role of the Holy Spirit was an instrumental thing in allowing the church to grow so rapidly and expand literally throughout the known world at that particular time. But one of the things I'm going to give to you today is this. Before I get into the message any further, one of the things I'm going to be giving you is some what I call some learning insights. And so I want to use these learning insights because it does set up the message that I'm going to be speaking on. Today's message has a grand total of 2 points. Yeah, and if you've attended the Bridge very long, you know that that means absolutely nothing. It just means I got one that's really, really long, okay? So one of the things, let me give you some insights why I'm gonna be speaking on what I am. Let me give you these insights. Number one is we don't see what we're not looking for. And if you've ever kind of done any of these types of puzzles and games, until they tell you what you're looking for to play this game, you don't know to look for it. And so they have to tell you, as you look at this particular game, this is what you're looking for. And then all of a sudden you start seeing, you see a photo and then they have another one next to it. They need to tell you there's five things that have changed. And when you find the five, you know, you circle. So it's one of the, you don't see what you're not looking for until somebody says, look for the, oh, there it is. And you start seeing things. It's how our brain is wired. Another key principle for you for learning is this. You can't unsee a pattern once you've seen it. Patterns are how we learn. If you're involved in any type of teaching with children or teens or college grads, you know that this is a key. There's always a pattern. You try to teach patterns because once they see the pattern, they have it. It's hard for them not to see it anymore. And they can then begin to learn and grow and develop. So patterns help us. And so sometimes we come to the scripture and we're not aware of the patterns. And so we read the stories and we read the things, but it sometimes fails to like make an impact, or it's hard for us maybe to remember. Until we're given a pattern, we don't many times remember the very thing that we read. Another key insight is this. Patterns emerge through context, observed behaviors or practice, word usage and word structure. So these are techniques. You go, there's a pattern here. How do I find it? And so you employ some of this stuff to begin to be able to look for these patterns. And then finally, my learning insight is this. You can't do the what very well or for very long if you don't have a compelling why. Some of you are gonna have to read that two or three more times. A lot of times, public speaking, you're telling people the what. This is what you ought to do. This is what you ought to do. This is what you ought to do. Until you give them a compelling why, it's very hard for them to sustain the what. But once you understand the what becomes very easy. Let me give you an example. How many know you shouldn't speed? That's the what. Don't speed. But it's very hard to resist the temptation to speed until you are given the why. You pull up your app and it says Waze, and you pull up Waze, and Waze says up ahead there are police officers that other drivers have registered to tell you that. You guys didn't know about Waze? Okay, well, a police officer told me about it, so it's safe. So anyway, and so you go, oh, the why. I don't need to speed because there's a trap a mile away and I can't afford another ticket. I have never had a ticket. Now, I do know people who had tickets, but I told them I wouldn't use their names today. And I'm really trying not to look at them. Huh. I'm still not looking at them. But yeah, the why. So suddenly you have all the discipline in the world to go the speed limit. It's not so hard anymore because you have the why. The why is there's a ticket waiting on you up there that you probably don't want to pay. And if you've had more than one, your insurance rates are good. So the paying of the ticket is just the start. Now you're going to have inflated insurance. So you see, you give the why. When you give the why, now the what's really easy. Now, I'm just telling you, that's how we learn. We spend a lot of time talking about the what, and sometimes we don't take enough time on the why. And so that's one of the things I want to lean into today is the why. Why do we do this? Why is it important? I can tell you some what's. This is what we ought to do as followers of Christ. I can tell you, but I can tell you more importantly, the why. So today's message is all about the why. Has everybody got it? Why do we need to do that? So I'm going to give you a diagram here this morning. So if you see, I mentioned this last week. If you go through the book of Acts, he mentions the Holy Spirit 56 times. Now, safe to say that that is definitely a theme of the book of Acts. So you got 28 chapters. He mentions it at minimum twice a chapter, okay? If you averaged it out, it's at least twice. How many would say the Holy Spirit is definitely a theme of Acts? Some of you don't know that, right? But it, you know, I'm just saying, it's kind of like, okay, can you imagine having Luke as your pastor? I mean, he is like laying into the Holy Spirit. So it's easy to say you need to believe in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because as you read the book of Acts, like I said, this is stuff that emerges. There are 28 miracles in the book of Acts. There's more listed, but they call them signs and wonders. And so you don't know how many there is. So you just categorize it as one. So there's 28 times that there's the miraculous and the miracles are mentioned. So the Holy Spirit is mentioned 56 times. And then the miracles are mentioned 28 times. It's easy to see that there's a connection there, right? So here's the big what and here's the big why. How do we connect those two? Like, if the Holy Spirit is key for that, how do we get the Holy Spirit to do that? And that's the what. And we're also going to be talking about the why. How the big point is this. He mentions prayer 33 times. Now, some of you that's new, you go, well, I knew it mentioned prayer. Did you see in the text we read, it said constantly praying? So you go, wow, I didn't realize prayer was listed so much in the book of Acts. Well, I know, because you don't see what you're not looking for, because we hear so much, and I'm guilty of this. We lean into the book of Acts on the Holy Spirit and the signs and wonders that when we read it, that's all we see. And we fail to see that 33 times prayer is mentioned. If I listed the other times, there's sometimes that prayer is insinuated, but not mentioned. There's also fasting. You generally... fasting includes prayer. If you included all those, you're probably bumping 50 times. So you're like, wow. Now, why is that? Now, I'm going to say something. And what I need you to do is listen to how I say it so that you don't think I said something I did not say. Everybody got me? Here's the question, and I'm going to answer it. Why is prayer mentioned so much? Why is that? So let's look at the context. The way they connected to God was through prayer. Listen to me, because they didn't have a Bible. The scriptures were available at the house of worship. They were scrolls. You remember, the book has not been invented yet. It's scrolls. The scrolls are at the synagogue. The scrolls are at the temple. But the average person doesn't have a copy of God's word. That's why they would always go to the temple or the synagogue, because it was their opportunity to hear God's word. And then they were resigned to the fact with whatever they could remember. So there was a lot of memorizing and a lot of just ability to try to absorb what was being said, because they didn't have a Bible in their house. So how did the people connect to God? Well, prayer was the vehicle. So now this is where I need to make sure you don't take me out of context. The reason prayer has diminished so much in Western culture, we've replaced it with Bible reading. And I don't read in the scripture that we were, should we read the Bible? Please say yes. Should I replace it? Should I replace my prayer with Bible reading? No, it should be done in conjunction with my prayers. But most people have backed away from praying, and they read, and there's nothing wrong with reading the Bible. But they're not praying. They're substituting Bible reading. And I'm here to tell you, we should read the Bible and we should be praying. And so there's too much to one's, by the way, Jesus even criticized the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said this, he said in John, he said, you study the scriptures because you think by them that you have eternal life. And when he said, the one who is standing in front of you is the one who has eternal life. Basically, they had substituted the scripture for a real relationship with God. Ooh. And that's why John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But if you're not careful, it can become this academic thing. And we forget it's about a personal thing. Please tell me you understand me, and nobody will take me out of context. Pastor, don't go out here and say, Pastor said we need to stop reading the Bible. No, I did not. I said it needs to be more in conjunction and in practice with prayer. Does everybody hear me? But what's happened is we're students of the word, but not prayers of the word. And consequently, people are going, well, where's all the activity of God? You read in the book of Acts, listen, the Holy Spirit was there. Prayer was the vehicle that brought the Holy Spirit that allowed the miraculous to happen. But the miraculous doesn't happen by talking about it. The miraculous does not happen by reading about it. It happens by praying about it. So guess what the message is on today? Prayer. You are geniuses. I've told people I have some of the smartest people in the world, and you just confirmed it. There we go. So point number one, it's earth moving. What does it say?
Prayer.
Prayer in the book of Acts. We're just gonna look at prayer in the book of Acts. Now, I said it's directly referenced 33 times. It's insinuated a number of other times, so you can kind of put two and two together. There's no way I'm addressing all of them. But I'm gonna give you enough that the next time you read your Bible and you go through the book of Acts, you start underlining the word prayer every time you see it. Or that it's insinuated, like fasting, or they joined together and lifted their voice. Okay, it doesn't say they prayed, but joining together and lifting their voice, guess what they were doing? So just, that's why I say, my thing is hopefully next time you go, man, prayer was their vehicle to connect to God and see his activity released. And then at the end, I'm gonna give you some practical application on how to do this on a daily basis. So let's begin to look at this. What did prayer do? In book of Acts, we discover in chapter 1, verse 14, it says constantly. Paul expanded on this later, okay, when he says pray without ceasing, and that conjures up like, wow, I'm supposed to be walking around with my hands folded in a holy position and praying all the time. No, I'm gonna show you a little bit better what that picture looks like. But when they were praying, it tells us in verse 15, that Peter stood up and he had illumination on the scripture, and it says, hey, I read in the Bible that it tells us that Judas, his betrayal was prophesied and that he's to be replaced. So what we read here is when we pray, we start to see things in the Bible that we didn't see before. Prayer illuminates the spiritual side of a verse. We've read it 1,000 times and then all of a sudden we've prayed about it, and now all of a sudden there's a new understanding to it. Then it tells us in verse 24, it says, then they prayed for this new leadership, not knowing, and they prayed about who it should be. And God revealed who that person was to take Judas's place. How does that apply to you? If you're in any type of position in where you have to deal with leadership in your own life, see, a lot of times we confine this to the church world. No, this tells me that when there's a leadership vacancy, that you're an owner and maybe you have to promote somebody, or you're in a place where the company or business has to promote somebody into leadership that's gonna have influence over you, you ought to be praying for the leadership. You ought to ask God to reveal who he wants in that position, because leaders affect our lives. Leaders have influence. So instead of griping and complaining and whining, maybe we ought to spend some time in prayer and saying, God, I'd love for you to bless our business because I need to raise up a new leader. I need to create a new position. God, I believe you have the right man or woman for this position. I don't know who they are, but I pray that you would reveal it so I can hire that person. If you're a person that's not being considered, but that person is going to have influence, as an employee, you ought to be praying, God, give us a good boss. Give us a good leader. Give us a good direct. If you're a school teacher and they're gonna be having to get a new principal, why don't you pray that God would bless you with a good principal instead of complaining? If we would pray as much as we gripe, we'd probably see some changes. Yeah, I can tell that went well today. No, see what I'm saying? We often read this like, oh yeah, so we need to pray for church leadership. No, we need to pray for leaders and ask God to reveal them. Then you read down in Acts 2:4, it says, yeah, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's a translation of that. If you're not asking for it, then don't expect to be filled. You gotta ask for it. It's a gift that God wants to give you. Then you read down in Acts 2:42, it said they devoted themselves to prayer. It also says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and some variety of other things. But here was the outcome. They enjoyed the favor of all people. And it says that added daily those being saved. So because of being constantly in prayer, the activity of God was being released through the Holy Spirit. And it tells us that people began to like them, and it says people were being converted on a daily basis. See, sometimes we think, well, the church does the conversion. I'm here to tell you, you do that. You lead somebody to Jesus and watch your world get flipped upside down. It's an awesome thing to stand with somebody and just say, listen, we've talked about this long enough. Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Do you need to accept Jesus? And they go, yeah. Don't go. We'll see you Sunday. No. You need to tell them, we can do that right now. Are you ready? Let me tell you, if the conversation's gotten that far, they're ready. That's how it's done on a daily basis. Listen, this is a building, but you're the church. And it tells us they devoted themselves to prayer. Then look at this, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, going up to the temple at the time of prayer. They even had a scheduled time for prayer. See, a lot of times we just say, well, you know, as I have time, I'll do it. If you go into that scripture, it says about 3 in the afternoon. They had prayer listed at 3 o'clock, and they were going to do prayer at 3 o'clock. So you read, it was not something they did only when convenient. They put it on the calendar. I would encourage you to do that. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, I could block out 30 minutes, but I got everything said I need to say in about 5. Then what do I do? Have you ever noticed? I mean, it's okay to pray. It's okay to talk in prayer to God. But sometimes you need to sit quiet and let him do some talking. I don't know why it is we think if I'm not doing all the talking, I'm not praying. You know, pray and then sit and listen. And wait. It's just as much God talking to you as you talking to him. And everybody said amen. In verse 4, chapter 4, verse 24, it says they raised their voices together in prayer. So it says two things here. Raised their voices, meaning out loud, and together, meaning they were praying the same thing together. So what we learn in the book of Acts was this. They were a people that prayed out loud. You know, when you raise your voice, how many know that sounds like volume? Please tell me you know that. So let me give you, there's some other scriptures I could reference. Let's go all the way back though to Acts chapter 2. It says that when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they were speaking in tongues. And it says that people heard their native languages coming out. And they identify all these languages, right? Now hear me. It says they were in the upper room. So that's a minimum of second story. There's a possibility it could have been third story, but at least the second story. The second part is these are people who are hearing this. They're on the street. They're in the marketplace. There is what you call marketplace noise. When they were speaking in tongues, they were so loud, it came from upstairs, outside, down on the street, and overcame the street noise. Does that sound like a quiet prayer meeting? There had to be some serious volume. Now, I'm not here to say, let's have a shout and screaming match. I'm not even remotely pushing that. But what I want you to see that this was a church that was not afraid to pray, and they didn't care if you heard them. And here it says they were raising their voice. So this is why in the middle of service, see, some people go, is this Pastor Greg's idea? Is this Pastor Malik's idea where we pray in the middle of service? No, it's a gospel. It's the book of Acts idea. The church prayed out loud. So that's why we say in the middle of worship, now it's time to pray. And we always use the phraseology, let's pray with the volume that we sing. Because again, what's happened in our culture is this. We have substituted worship for prayer. We'll sing for an hour, but it kills us to pray for a minute. Oh, you know that. You just didn't know that I knew that. Oh, yeah. Let's sing, baby, sing. Let's pray. Oh, man, a whole minute. All right, 30 more seconds. 15. See, I know that kills you because I watch you during the greeting time. 1 minute after you already sitting down. That's why I walk back. I'm trying to upset your world saying, you know, you got another minute to go on the greeting time. Hey, see, if you don't know by now, we comfort the afflicted and then we afflict the comfortable. That's all we do. You realize they didn't have the worship that we have. The only thing they had was prayer. By the way, and I love music. I'm for it. My first 2 year of college, 2 years of school, I studied music, so I'm not anti-music. I love music. But what I'm saying is, I just don't want it to be at the expense of not praying. Because when I go to the book of Acts, what moved the Holy Spirit was prayer. It's prayer. That released the Holy Spirit's activity into the lives of people and the situations that were around them. You go to Acts chapter 4, 31. After they prayed, the place was shaken, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. So you got the place was shaken. They also had another infilling of the Holy. So what you see here is this, is they've been filled with the Holy Spirit and they were filled again. So it goes to show you this is not an event thing. This is a journey where we continue to grow in our walk in the Holy Spirit, but spoke the word of God boldly, meaning this, it helped them to be able to inject their faith into everyday conversation. The ability to converse with people and bring up the topic. Let me share an example that I've had. Every once in a while, have you ever had somebody just tell you their life's business and you never asked for it? Yeah, I mean, it happens, right? And you're kind of like standing there going, all I did was say, hi, how's your day? Here it comes, and you know, and let me just, maybe that's the Holy Spirit. And here's what I've learned. Here's two phrases that you ought to learn that no matter what people spill on you, here's two things that you can always say to take the conversation where you know it needs to go. Number one is this. Do you think God can help you with that? Most of the times they say, yeah, probably. I wish he would. And then the second thing I always ask is this. Can I pray for you right now? Now, I've been in ministry 42 years. You know, I've never had anybody tell me no. Now, there's been times I was very confident that when I asked, I knew the person well enough, I thought, when I ask this, they're gonna say no. But I'm gonna do my part. I know they're gonna say no. They can tell their attitude. I've listened to them over the year. I know, but I'm at least, and I go, so can I pray for you? I think, I'm ready for the no. And they go, okay. I want to go, really? The closest no I've ever had was a guy who said, if that makes you feel better. I went, wow, was that, you know, that's like a boxing move. Like, you know, you just bobbed and weaved. You're like, well, that was kind of a weird response. If it makes me feel better, okay. I prayed for him anyway, you know. But I've never had anybody give me a definitive no. A lot of times we don't know when people bring the emotions into a conversation that we weren't ready for. It kind of overwhelms us and we're just, I don't know where to go with this. Do you think God can help you? And can I pray for you right now? They spoke the word of God boldly. Another element of this, is chapter 6, verse 4. The church was growing exponentially. Things were being left, they're not getting done, and so they had to reorganize the church. But it's interesting, the apostles began to move a lot of things off of their plate to get things done, but they said, but we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. It's interesting that the apostles recognized where all this activity was coming from. Yes, it was the word, but they knew the importance because they were the source of the word, because everybody else didn't have a copy, and they did. So they understood the power of needing to communicate to God. But it's interesting that they understood that the activity that was happening related to the Holy Spirit was coming through prayer. And they said, we can't give up that. The other stuff we're going to hand off, but that we have to keep doing. And then in chapter 6, verse 6, it says they presented. So they got some new leaders. And it says they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So yeah, a lot of times you have to pray that God would raise up new leaders, not just in a church environment, but maybe your business, your world is growing. Ask God to reveal people who are capable. Ask God to raise them up. Ask God to bring you candidates that you feel that you could train, who have the ability to learn. Just don't sit back and think this applies to the church world. God knows where there's leaders out there that nobody else has found. Please say amen. Amen. Now, I have a lot of other scriptures that I want to cover, and I don't have the time, so I'm going to skip to my last point. And you can see that I was prepared to go for quite a while today. So here we go. Number 2, read it out loud. How did Jesus teach his disciples to pray? John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Jesus was saying this. You think I'm just walking around and I'm doing my own thing, and I'm here to tell you, this is not my own thing. I'm only doing what I see the Father doing, which tells us it's possible to see what God wants. So Jesus wasn't doing his own thing. He said, I'm doing what I see my Father doing. This is why when they said, teach us to pray in Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how do you pray? You just say, listen, God, this is my world, but here's the thing. I don't know what you're doing in them. I don't know what you're doing in them, and I don't know what you're doing in them. I need you to show me your activity so that I know my response. I know you're working in my neighbor. I know you're working in my coworker. I know you're working in my friend. I know you're working with this person that's a customer. I know you're working in my son, my daughter. I just don't know what to do. If you'll show me what you're doing, I will cooperate, because it says your kingdom come, your will be done. It does not say mine. Because every person in this room has somebody that needs to get their act together, and you already know what they need to do. You're just waiting for them to ask you. You've already got it all outlined, man. Like, I thought I'd never see the day you'd ask me, what do you need to do to get your act together? Let me tell you. And can I tell you, they're never going to ask you. So put your notes away. And say, you're working in their life, God. Here's the problem. I don't see it, so it's easy for me to come up with an agenda. Show me what you're doing in them. And as that's revealed through conversations and actions, and I see, I'll know what my part in this is. But no, I don't know. Because I just want to go in and, how many just want to go in and fix them? You ever just want to go in and fix people? You know, it's so easy. You know, my way, listen to me, in 10 minutes, your life is put together. But it doesn't work that way. So number 1 is this: ask for the activity of the Holy Spirit, God's activity, to be revealed in a person. Then it says this: give us today our daily bread. It is so easy to assume that that means all about me. Daily bread, if you don't realize, most of the people had to go do business with other people to even get the ingredients to have the daily bread. So this is how we confine something when we're not aware of the context. People had to go buy the resources or the ingredients and then create the bread, or they could find somebody who actually made it and buy the bread. So give us today our daily bread. That also implies some relationships here. Your daily bread is your calendar. Your daily bread is as you look at, this is what I have to do today. I see the emails, I see the texts, the phone calls, I see the meetings, I know the person, I know the team that'll be in the room, I know I'll be meeting with my boss, I know that I'll be doing this, I know I'll be going, I'm even gonna do a social engagement, and I already know who's already gonna be at the social engagement. That's daily bread, that's all daily bread. So let me tell you, this is the practical part. How do you take the day and what we call pray without ceasing? See, some people think, well, if I get up in the morning and I pray, I'm done in 5 minutes. I mean, I'm trying to be spiritual, but I've got it all in. Now what? You say, pray without ceasing. How do I do this? So let me give you something. I've shared this before, but I'm going to expand on a little bit further. In the morning, I take my calendar. It's on my iPhone. I look, I see. So here's my calendar tomorrow, okay? This is what I have. And I'm going to tell you how I pray. And I can tell you what I'll be praying in the morning. At 9 o'clock, we have a pastoral team. The five of us pastors, we all meet in a room and we go over the services, we go over glitches, we go over what we thought was a high mark and successes and some good stories and testimonies. We review everything. In the morning, I'll say, God, I got a pastoral team meeting at 9 o'clock. I pray for Pastor Lisa. Pray for Pastor Danielle. I pray for Pastor Austin. I pray for Pastor Malik. Help our meeting to produce what you want it to produce. At 10 o'clock, I go to a staff meeting where all the other employees come, all the admins, the bookkeeper, everybody. And that's where we go over what's going to happen the next couple weeks. And so in the morning, when I get up, I'll go to my, I'll look at that and I'll go, and God, I pray for Kim, our bookkeeper. I pray for another Kim who's one of our admins. Pray for Claudia. I pray for Peter, our media. I pray for Starla. I pray for every person that's in that meeting. And then after that, I got a creative team meeting. And I pray for everybody that's in that creative team meeting. And then I go do the finances and go over things with Kim, our bookkeeper. And I go, God, as we're going over things, I need you to be there. Help me to see things I need to see. Help me to catch things. Help me to understand things. Help me to perceive things. Help me in that time. And I'm gonna make myself a little more vulnerable. At 4 o'clock, I head to the gym. I'm still hopeful that he's gonna give me youthful legs again. And I'll log in. It's one of those, you have to log in, you know, they're gonna be there. And as you log in, you can see, and I know this, I hope those who hear this know my heart. I can see who's attending that particular class. I see who the instructor is. As I log in, I pray for them. Because of our workout, there won't be a whole lot of conversation, but there's those people still matter to me. So I pray for my instructor, whoever is assigned that day, and I pray for the participants. And then once a month, I have a BOA meeting or Board of Administrators. And when I see that on the calendar in the morning, I'll say, God, I pray for Chris and Tara. I pray for Bill and I pray for the others. Once a month, I have an elders meeting. Oh, got an elders meeting today. Then I pray over my calendar is my prayer. And then every so often, I teach a class at the seminary. I know the pastors. I know the students who are gonna be in that session with me. And I pray for them. I pray for their church. I pray for the churches that they will be going to. But I pray for them on that day. I'm telling you, you'll find this baby goes 30, 45 minutes. Why? Because I'm praying about people I know. And some of you need to start praying for the people you work with. Call your boss's name out. I got a meeting with him or her today. God, I pray for my coworker. We're supposed to come up with some ideas. God, I pray for my classroom that I teach. You need to start calling out the students' names. It's gonna take you some time to go through all 20 or 25 of them. And then those parents that are a real pain to you, pray for the parents instead of complaining. God, I don't know what you're doing, but the troubles they're having with me as a teacher, as parents, that's, you obviously want us to converse more. Pray for your principal, who's your boss. We're gonna have a teacher's meeting. I pray for those teachers. Don't just say pray for the, call them out. Pray their names. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal himself, what he's doing in their life. Generalities is the enemy of effective prayer. Well, ask God to bless them. I want their names. I don't want them. I want their names. Give me their names. I've asked God to bless my classroom. No, that's a generality. I want the names of the students that you're talking about. And watch God bond you to those people. And watch how you pay more attention to what they say. Because when you've prayed for them in private, you pay a lot more attention to them in public. Because you're looking for the activity of the Holy Spirit. We're gonna wrap it up here. I'm gonna give you one more verse. Luke 2:21-33. Heaven and earth will pass away before my words ever pass away. You have to recognize when you pray the word, you can be sure that he's gonna answer, because he said heaven and earth will pass away. So pray. Pray what he says. And I hope I've shown this to you. So here's how we're gonna wrap up today. I'm gonna ask you to stand to your feet. Here's how we're gonna wrap this service up. Everybody in this room knows four people that you're gonna have a conversation with tomorrow. Everybody, can I tell you a story that happened to me Friday? I had on the calendar, because there was a time difference. I had to deal with a company that owed me money, but they're in California. Two things. 3-hour time change, California. And I thought, God, I said, Lord, I don't know who I'm gonna get when I call. I really need this to go well. I don't need adversity. You know, I just need this baby to go smooth. And as the gal answered the phone, I told her, I said, such and such, and this is what I'm calling about. She had it all resolved and refunded to me in about 10 minutes. And I said to her on the phone, I said, can I tell you something? She said, sure. I said, you need to do a course on how to treat customers. You have been amazing. She said, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And I said, you've given me hope for California. I said, can I tell you something? She said, yes. I said, I really appreciate the value system that is guiding you when you talk to me. I said, I'm a pastor. And trust me, I pick up the value system very quickly. She said, and I'm a follower of Jesus. And I said, now I really have hope for California. Pray about it. See, I would have never thought that I needed to make her day. I just wanted the transaction and let's move on. And I had an opportunity to validate somebody in the job that they do that they probably don't get much validation. Everybody in this room knows four people that you're gonna have a conversation with tomorrow. I'm gonna want you to pray for those four people right now, out loud. We're just all gonna do it together. I'm gonna shut off my mic. I want you to pray right now for the activity of the Holy Spirit to be in that conversation that you have. Come on, everybody, right now, lift your voice. Four people, pray for them now. Come on. For the connection group leaders and the leadership team that are present, would you come to the front very quickly? And listen, I know that there are people who need prayer, and today might be a day you want to accept Jesus. I want to encourage you to come and they will pray with you. But after we just sing the chorus, a very brief segment, I'm going to dismiss everybody. But come on, as we sing it, you have a need or want to accept Christ, make your way before I dismiss. Come on, lift your voice.
Spirit break out, and break our walls down. Spirit, break down. Heaven, come down.
Come on, lift your hands this morning as I say the blessing and we go. I bless you in the name of the Lord. May He bless you in this city and in this county. May the fruit of your womb and the crops of your land, all your livestock be blessed. May He bless the work of your hands at home, at work, at church, in this community. May He bless your coming and your going. May the Lord grant the enemies rising up against you be defeated. When they come at you in one direction, let them flee from you in seven directions. May the Lord send a blessing on everything you put your hand to do. May He continue to establish you as His holy people. May all people see you've been called by the name of the Lord. May the Lord grant you prosperity, opening up the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty. May He bless the work of your hands. I bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, everybody